Pray before we read.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, and we thank you for your word. Pray that you would be with us to help us to understand your meaning. Amen. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town of the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into a boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good to be together. We're going to be having a think about what that passage has to say to us. But as we do, let's pray. Please pray with me. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we pray that we would be people who hear what it has to say and obey it. And we pray that you might comfort us tonight with this series of events that show Jesus overcoming even death itself. And Father, we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. I wonder what you did to bring in the new year. Did you have a dinner party with your friends and family? Did you go away for holidays? Did you watch the fireworks on TV? I was in Sydney with my family, and I was just at home watching on TV, but my parents, they got invited to a rooftop party in the city, and that was the view they had. My dad took that photo. Not bad, I reckon. But since then, how many people have you wished Happy New Year to? I said it to my family when I saw them. I said it to some friends down in Wollongong. I posted it on social media. I think I even said it to the lady in the Macca's drive-thru when I picked up dinner one time. Happy New Year. And it's a nice thing to say, isn't it? But I wonder, what percentage of the people that I said it to will actually be happy in 2019? Don't get me wrong, I want my friends and my family and even the lady in Macca's drive-thru to be happy, but what about when things go wrong? Even Jess and I were out at a cafe the other day, and we walked past a conversation where someone said, "Happy New Year, I hope it's not too disastrous." Wow. So what about the moments this year when we're sad, when we're sick or in pain? What about the times this year when we get desperate? What if this year we have to face up to death? Because what Luke gives us in this passage is a series of four events where people are facing the threat of death. There's a bunch of mates facing up to a wild storm. There's a deranged, demon-possessed man. There's a lady who is sick without much hope. And there's a daughter dying in front of her father. And across all of the stories, the fear of death is growing and growing until it reaches its climax at the end, and it comes. And all of the people come desperately to the feet of Jesus. Because in our summer series this January, we've been looking at stories of people who meet Jesus. Last couple of weeks, we've seen Jesus meet a busy person. We've seen Jesus meet an unpopular person. This week, we're going to see what happens when Jesus meets some desperate people. Not desperate to be liked, or to be rich, or to be clever, but desperate in the face of the one thing that comes to us all, death. Which might make you feel like we're in for a bit of a depressing sermon tonight. But actually, what we're going to see is that Jesus is the one who can overcome it all, even death. That he's the one who's defeated death, and now he's able to stand with us in our moments of desperation. But we'll come to that later. Let's look at the first encounter where Jesus overcomes drowning. Have a look with me at verse 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. So we know that this would have been a particularly bad storm to make experienced fishermen like these guys feel scared. In fact, they're so scared, they're fearing for their lives. And it's the first moment where the threat of death rears its head. Because unless there's a miracle, these guys are goners. But a miracle is exactly what happens next. Verse 24. The disciples went and woke him, Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters, the storm subsided, and all was calm. Just like that. Crisis averted. Jesus stops the storm just by speaking to it, displaying his utter authority and power. Over the last few months, we've had some pretty big storms here in Bathurst, lots of thunder and lightning even this week. And one of the storms last month actually hit a lightning bolt hit a tree in our backyard. There was this huge clap of thunder and chunks of bark went flying everywhere. And the next morning, we actually realized that it had fried our coffee machine, our microwave, and our internet modem, all gone. And, you know, there's nothing like a big storm like that to remind us how much we're not in control of this world. As much as you might check the weather app on your phone, looking at it won't change our inability to control the weather. There's only one person who can do that. That's Jesus, which is what the disciples begin to realize in verse 25. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Narrowly escaping the threat of drowning. But with that threat of death rising, let's move on to the second event of the passage as they continue across the lake to where Jesus overcomes demons. Point two, overcoming demons. And let's pick it up in verse 27 in the region of the Gerasenes. "When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs." See, the problem that arises here is there's a man so totally controlled by demons. And once again, the stench of death is evident. Did you notice where he's living? Amongst the tombs. And so here's a guy filled with creatures from the dead, living amongst the dead. And I reckon most people would have been scared of him. But have a look at who he's afraid of. Verse 28. "When he, the demon-possessed man, saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me.'" You know, unlike what the movies might portray, it's hardly a great battle of two forces, good and evil, coming up against one another. The demon is on his knees, begging Jesus. And so just like Jesus calmed the storm with the power of his word, so too he casts out these demons. Verse 32, "A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission." He gave them permission. Just think about that for a second. Think of the last time you asked someone for permission. "Do you mind if I pick up your baby? Can I please go on that school excursion? Can I borrow your car?" If you are genuinely asking, then you're at the mercy of the one who you're talking to. You're actually in the vulnerable position. Well, such is the power of Jesus that this demon has no other option but to seek his permission. He's at the mercy of Jesus to say yes or no. But such is the mercy of Jesus on the man who's possessed that he allows the demons to go and he sets the man free. However, when word spreads about what's happened, the crowds, they recognize the power of Jesus, but instead of believing him, they want him gone. Verse 37, "All the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear." But not the man who was cured. He's not afraid of Jesus. He wants to follow him. And so Jesus actually sends him away, saying in verse 39, "I want you to return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. What a life-changing moment for this man. Jesus had freed him from the grip of demons and death. Of course he would tell anyone and everyone he could. And how much more so for us. That if we've met Jesus, if we've been freed from the grip of sin and death, if we understand that he's offered us a place into his family, eternal life in the world to come, of course we would tell anyone and everyone we could. In fact, I hope that if someone was recording our lives right now in the way Luke is recording these events, I hope that they would write down, so the people went away from Bathurst Presbyterian Church and told all over town how much Jesus had done for them. And with our summer mission on this week, what better time to do that, along with the countless opportunities we have each week. And so off the man goes, heralding the good news, and on Jesus sails to his next destination, where the threat of death really begins to escalate. Point three, where Jesus overcomes disease. A large crowd's waiting for Jesus there at his next stop, but here there's one man who bursts through the crowd, desperate for Jesus' help. Check out verse 41. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Jesus, he hears the cries of Jairus, and immediately he heads off to see his daughter. And the whole crowd, they want to come too. They're squashing in around, trying to catch a glimpse of what might happen. Now, growing up in Sydney, I got used to being in lots of crowds. I used to catch the train to school every day, like an hour and 20 minutes both ways. And so, you know, in the middle of peak hour, you're on this train squashed in with everyone else, and then you pull up at another station and more people would pile on and you're more squashed. And if you've ever been in a crowd like that, you can imagine what it might have been to be in this crowd as Jesus heads to the house of Jairus. But before they get there, they meet one other desperate person. Verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. The threat of death is really ramping up here, isn't it? As if having a 12-year-old girl dying isn't bad enough, look at what this woman's been dealing with for 12 years. No doctor can help. No hope of a cure. With that kind of disease, she would have been considered unclean in her culture, totally isolated, effectively the walking dead. Until, of course, she meets Jesus. Her last hope of escape from death. And what happens? Well, with just the touch of his cloak, she's healed. Which, in a crowd like this, she might have been trying to not get noticed. Not that anyone was really looking at her anyway, because she'd been isolated all this time, but it doesn't get past Jesus. Verse 46, he said, "Someone touch me. I know that power's gone out from me." So then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Someone else with Jesus' kind of power might have wanted to keep it all to themselves, or might have got angry that she didn't ask properly, but not Jesus. He cares about her struggles, and he cares about us too. He graciously uses his power to shower his love on us. And so, having stared death in the face, this woman narrowly escapes thanks to the power of Jesus to overcome her disease. But before you have time to catch a breath in this story, word comes from Jairus' house. Verse 49. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Which takes us to the final scene of the chapter, where Jesus overcomes death itself. And it's worth noticing the change of mood here. Jairus and those around him, they've been pretty confident of Jesus being able to help with his daughter being sick. But when word arrives that she's now dead, they give up. It's as if they were thinking, well, Jesus' power is pretty impressive, but there's no way he can bring someone back from the dead. There must be some limits to his power. Actually, this is the moment when Jairus should have been most desperate for Jesus, but instead he just gives up. But have a listen to what Jesus says in response in verse 50. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she'll be healed." Have you noticed those two responses of fear and faith throughout the passage so far? The disciples, they were afraid of drowning. Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" The people of the Gerasenes, they sent Jesus away because they were afraid. But the man, he wanted to follow Jesus. The woman came trembling to Jesus only to be told that her faith had healed her. And now, in the climax of the passage, death has arrived. Things couldn't get any worse. It's the end of the line. And what is Jesus' encouragement to Jairus? Don't be afraid. Just believe. Fear won't help you. Instead, have faith. Put your faith in the one who has overcome the grave. And so while everyone is laughing at Jesus for even thinking that this girl is not dead, he enters the house and, verse 54, he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. The final problem is solved just as easily as all the rest. With Jesus, there was never any need to be afraid. Jesus raises the young girl from the dead with his voice. You see, this chapter from Luke shows us four moments of desperation, all overcome by one man. Under the shadow of death, in all its various forms, attacking from all angles, people of all ages, even death itself, Jesus shows that he could overcome whatever happened. And this wouldn't be the last time that Jesus comes face to face with death. You see, as Luke writes on, Jesus himself experiences this kind of pain, even to the point where he cries out in the Garden of Gethsemane, even to the point where he dies upon the cross, the most humiliating death. But that couldn't stop Jesus either, for he rose from the grave, overcoming sin and death once and for all. And now, because Jesus has defeated death, we don't have to fear it anymore. And so when we come face to face with death in all its forms, disaster, illness, despair, Jesus understands what it's like. He's witnessed it. He's experienced it. He knows the full force of it. And he has overcome it. And so with Jesus, we have nothing to fear in the face of death. All we have to do is come to his feet. Just like those people in today's passage, to fall at his feet and recognize that he's the only one able to save us. Because he's the only one who's defeated death. To fall at Jesus' feet, knowing that he has both the power to do something and the love to put it into practice. Trust him, because he can give you life beyond the grave. You see, Jesus, in this chapter, is the answer to the problem of death. And that's not a promise that everything in life will always be easy or that we'll always be happy. But it's a promise that Jesus will be right there with you through it all. and that our faith grants us eternal life in the world to come. I want to finish with some of the words from a commentary that I read, and they're honest words from this passage. It says that Jesus may not give us the kind of victory that we expect, but he will always overcome trouble in some way if we ask. His answer in trying circumstances may be relief, but it equally may be endurance. His answer to illness may be health, but it may be courage instead. He may plan to rescue us from death's door, or permit bereavement and give new hope with it. But in the words of Romans 8, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I hope that 2019 is a happy new year for you. I really do. But in the moments when it's not, run to Jesus. Fall at his feet. Put your faith in the one who has overcome the grave, the only one who can save us. And so in the face of death, Jesus gives us these same words of encouragement that he gave to Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus. We thank you for the way that he came out of heaven to be a man, to be a human like us. And Father, we thank you that he experienced the pain of this world, that he suffered death on a cross for us, and that he rose again from the dead, that he's now conquered sin and death, and so now we have nothing to fear, that with faith in him, we too can live forever. We too have nothing to fear. And so, Father, help us in moments this week and this year, or in moments of desperation. Father, help us to trust in him, the one who has overcome it all. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.